streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening, and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes. As we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight, so stay tuned in to the hottest radio show worldwide. Welcome, everybody, to tonight's show. Tonight, our topic is One Pill Can Kill, and we want to make an awareness of the first National Fentanyl Prevention and Awareness Day. That will be August 21st, and we are happy to say that between Lisa, Kayla, and myself, we were able to get a proclamation here in the city of Maricopa, and August 21st will forever be remembrance of those that we have lost to fentanyl poisoning. Tonight, my guests are Lisa Tyler and Kayla Reagan. And Lisa is Tyler's mother and Kayla is Tyler's sister. Just 3 months ago, they lost Tyler to fentanyl poisoning. And tonight, they're here to share their story. So without further ado, let me please welcome Lisa to the show. And let me have her introduce herself. Give me 1 second, Lisa. It's not unmuting. Well, I'm having a little technical difficulties. I am going to play this PSA regarding fentanyl and prescription drugs.
Teenagers are dying, not because they are drug addicts, but because they were poisoned by drugs they didn't realize they were taking.
Many teens turn to prescription drugs because they seem safer than other street drugs like methamphetamine and heroin.
Sometimes prescription drugs can be just as dangerous as those street drugs.
Pharmaceutical-grade fentanyl is a synthetic opioid typically used to treat severe pain from cancer. Street fentanyl, on the other hand, is illegal and sold on the black market. It's usually added into street drugs and counterfeit pills being marketed as prescription medication, leading to fatal overdoses.
It is said that fentanyl is 80 times more potent than morphine and hundreds of times more potent than heroin. Due to fentanyl's high potency, it greatly increases the risk of overdose.
Law enforcement agencies have recovered fentanyl pills that are manufactured to look like prescription drugs such as Xanax and Percocet.
Drug dealers are not only lurking in dark alleyways, but can be found on school campuses, in our local parks, and on social media, making it easier for teens to access illicit drugs.
If you're feeling stressed from school or suffering from anxiety, depression, sleep, pain, or other problems, don't try to solve the problem yourself. And don't self-medicate. Talk with your parents or another trusted adult, like a teacher, school counselor, school resource officer, or your family doctor. If you feel like you need prescription medication, talk with your doctor and discuss your options.
Kids, please talk to your parents. Parents, please talk to your kids. We are all working together to save lives.
All right. So we have Lisa and Kayla on the line. Lisa, go ahead and please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Lisa Tyler. I am the mom of Tyler Champagne. I lost my son on May 10th of this year. Today is 100 days that I have been without my son. My son died from fentanyl poisoning. He was given fentanyl unknowingly by somebody who claimed they loved him. This drug is, it's evil. It's the devil. And when I it came to my home. It didn't ring my doorbell. It didn't knock on my door. It just busted my door down, and it destroyed my family. On May 10th, that morning, I seen my son at 2 o'clock that morning. I seen him up. I heard him at 3 o'clock that morning. At 6 o'clock that morning, I was having a really bad anxiety attack. Wasn't feeling real well. Didn't understand what was going on with me. Went and sat in the back room. My son had some other stuff going on, and he had been really stressed out, really stressed out. He was in this toxic relationship, and we had been talking about that, and I just decided that day, you know, I didn't check on him because I didn't go in the room. He was sleeping, and I didn't think anything of it until 3 o'clock that afternoon when I walked in the room and I found my son, and my son was gone. There was no helping him. He had been gone. I knew the minute I walked in the room and looked over that it was too late. There was nothing I can do. We waited for the toxicology report to come back to find out what it was. In the meantime, you know, before that ever came back, this said person that supposedly loved him was contacting us and was telling us stories back and forth between my daughter and I. And so we knew for the most part what was going to happen. And it did. It came out that that's what it was. And it's just a battle of trying to fight that. But let me tell you, you guys, this isn't, this isn't telling our kids anymore or our loved ones that don't do drugs because you can be addicted. This isn't what this is anymore. This is, now, if you do drugs, you can and you will die from it. I promise you that. I promise you that. I have heard and seen, and, you know, the month before my sister-in-law's, my nephew passed away, and, you know, my heart broke for her. I had no idea what that felt like, but it did. It broke for her. I had no idea what that felt like. And I know now, and it's the worst pain I have ever felt in my life. I feel it every day. It takes everything I have to breathe. It takes everything I have to get up and move. It takes everything out of me. My heart literally hurts. And when I say it hurts, there's real pain in my chest all the time. The what if. What did I do? It's because I didn't go and check on him. This is my fault. Why didn't I do this? All of these questions go through your mind. Did he suffer? There's so much. He didn't have that much in his system. But what he had was enough in his system that he couldn't breathe. It was the amount that if you were to go into the hospital and have to have surgery, that they have to put you, when they put you under, that they put you on a ventilator to breathe for you. That's how much my son, he couldn't breathe. And it killed me that a hollow wall was in between us. And I had no idea that my son was laying in that bedroom. So if you're not talking to your children or your loved ones, and you're not checking on anything, you need to. Because if you think this won't come to your door, it will. It will. I promise you it will. It will. You'll be visiting your kids grave, you'll be holding their urn. When I was handed my son's death certificate, it took my breath away. It looks exactly like your child's birth certificate. It looks exactly the same. And I told her when my son was born, you know, beautiful, 8 pounds, 2 ounces, 21 inches long. And I kissed him, and I did. I sang, "You are my sunshine." And when all the whole time I was pregnant, my daughter Kayla used to sing to my stomach, too. Used to sing, "You are my sunshine," to my belly, to her brother, all the time. And I sang that to him. And the day that he laid in his bed and I found him, and he was cold, and he was stiff, I leaned over his body, and I held on to him, and I sang to him, "You are my sunshine." And the cops made me leave, and they let us back there one more time before they, and I sang again to him. And then I sat and watched them take my baby out in a body bag. The next time I see, and that was on May 10th, on May 24th, I kissed my son, 6'2", 198 pounds, while he lay in a casket. And I kissed him, and I sang, "You are my sunshine," for the very last time. I was the first one to hold my son, and I was the last one to hold my son. He'll never, ever get married. He'll never have children. He'll never finish school. He'll never buy his house. He'll never come do any of the things he ever dreamed of wanting to do. He'd gotten big promotions at work. He was so excited about. He'll never get any of that. There are so many things I want to make awareness on, and this is so important because I don't ever want anybody to go through what I have gone through and my family has gone through. I do want to touch down on, you need to get to the core of why your loved ones, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your whatever, why are they turning to whatever it is they're turning to? If it's depression, if it's the kids are experimenting, if it's stress, whatever. Because whatever reason that they're turning to that, that's why we need to talk to them. And that's why we need to be more aware of what's going on with our loved ones, because they're putting this drug in everything, and they don't know it. They don't have any idea. They have no idea. My son, he was so, the sickest part of, makes me so, I'm so disgusted about it. He was so against fentanyl, and that is what killed him. That's what took his life. The one thing that he hated the most. And that's what took my son out in a second, that fast. And I racked my brain and my kids never, I never hang up. I never walk away from my children without, I never have, ever have I ever done it, not saying I love you. But that night that I seen him, and I'm sure I did, but I can't remember telling him I love you. I don't remember saying that. The last words I remember saying to my son are, "Did you get lost going to the grocery store?" That's what I remember saying to my child. I have unanswered questions. The person that gave this to him walks around like it's no big, you don't believe me that, and you think there's so many things online to look up. Please do. Just please reach out. Just do your research. You will you will be where I'm at, and I don't want to see that. If I can save any of you from doing this, that's why I'm doing this, because it's not, I'm never going to get my child back. I'm never going to see my son's face again. I'm never going to hear his voice. I'm never going to hug him. I'm never going to kiss my son again. I'm never going to hear his laugh. He's never going to annoy me. So it's not benefiting me to do any of this. What I can do is help anybody else from having to go through what we're going through as a family. My children will never have their parents back. I will never be the same mom that my daughters, Ariana, Tristan, Kayla, none of them will ever have me or their dad, the same people they ever knew. My husband will never have me back. Every day I cry. I'm there every day. My husband comes home from work and finds me curled in a ball crying. Please, please, if you don't want to lose your child, and if you have kids that are under the age of 18, mom, dad, don't be afraid to go through their stuff. You're not their friend. You are not their friend. You are their parent, first and foremost. You are their parent. Go through their stuff. My daughter, Kayla, has done a lot of research. She's been my backbone through a lot of this. She's held me up through most of this when I haven't been able to do it because it's so overwhelming for me. And she knows a little more, you know, I see stuff and I'll send it to her, and then she does a lot of the research on it. She'll be able to touch base and, if you know, tell you guys more about that. But yes, it's Snapchat is the biggest one. Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, all of those emojis. It's what they use. And they're not, it's not that they're using it and saying, hey, bring me fentanyl. That's not what they're doing, but that's what they're bringing them. And, you know, this whole stereotype that it's just a pill, it's not just a pill. It comes in, they're doing it, they're putting it in marijuana, they're putting it in all kind, they're putting it in cocaine, they're putting it in all kinds of stuff. They're putting it in everything. And, you know, what happens is these young kids, our youth, is what they're doing is they're wanting to, they're stressed out, they're depressed, they're whatever, and they just want a break. That's what they want. They just want to get away for a minute. So they reach out to something like this, or it's a really young teenager who just wants to experiment. Well, this isn't like it was when we were teaching them, don't do drugs because you could be addicted, because it's not the same thing anymore. You know, we've seen Sheriff Lamb, and like he's, you know, I don't know, like he said, they're selling this stuff for 50 cents to $2. It's cheap. It's a multi-billion-dollar business for these drug dealers that are doing it. And it's sickening. And I'll tell you the other thing is the stuff, they can get it right off of Amazon to make the stuff, not the fentanyl itself, but powder to make the blue stuff, the pill press. It comes straight from Amazon. It's not hard for them to get all of the supplies they need. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Our government needs to do something. We have more deaths from this than we have in anything else, anything. So we need to stand up, and as Americans, as moms, as dads, just as human beings, we need to stand up and do something about this. It's wiping an entire generation out, and it's not, you know, and I hate to say that whenever I read that, oh, it's not just the junkies or the addicts, because honestly, even those ones, if that's what you want to call them, the majority of those ones don't even know they're getting it. They're putting it in everything. It's that disgusting. It's disgusting. They're killing us. They just, I don't remember what state it was, but it was Tylenol. They busted somebody with Tylenol. It was in Tylenol. Just in Casa Grande, in March, I believe it was, 500,000 pills were, they got 500,000.
Yep.
500,000 fentanyl pills in Casa Grande. Like, they've gotten enough fentanyl that they could take out the entire United States. So I don't know. I'm in these groups. I see them, and it breaks your heart. There's another woman just this year was convicted because her one-year-old baby died from the fentanyl. You know, their kids are getting into babies. It's literally 2 grains of salt will kill you.
Yeah, I think Sheriff Lamb said that 33 children in Arizona alone have died in this past year.
Yes.
And I think he said 7 of them were under the age of 1 year old. So
they're
fake pills. They're counterfeit pills. They're made to look just like the oxycodone, the Percocet, the hydrocodone, the Xanax, Adderall. That a lot of these kids think they're going to get a high off of. But 4 or 5 out of 10 pills are laced with fentanyl. So you're playing Russian roulette with your life. And if you knew that you were going to take a pill with fentanyl and die tonight, would you take it? I'm sure pretty much 100%
exactly.
of the people would say no. So let me play this little PSA real quick, and then we're going to bring Kayla on and get a little bit of how she feels about the situation and what's going on, and then we'll continue the conversation. This PSA is a video that I got off the DEA website, and just picture a mom at the graveyard looking over her son's grave, and he's talking to her, but of course she can't see him. And this is exactly what we're talking about right here.
Mom. 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 I didn't know. I didn't know one pill. One time could kill me.
That's pretty heavy. That just makes me want to cry just hearing it, because if Tyler knew, he wouldn't have done it. If other people that we know knew, they wouldn't have done it. So we have to educate our children to know, so they can't say, I didn't know one pill would kill me, because it can. And that's why, as hard as it is for Lisa and Kayla to speak on their loved one at this point in time, is because they don't want other people to feel the pain that they're feeling right now and the loss that they're feeling right now. And that's why they're here tonight sharing their stories. Let me go ahead and
literally paralyzing.
Absolutely. Kayla, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Go ahead and introduce yourself, and then just, you know, start wherever you want to.
Okay. My name is Kayla. I am Tyler's older sister and the oldest out of us kids. And, you know, parents are burying their children. Sisters are losing their brothers, and brothers are losing their sisters, and there's someone somewhere that you know that has lost someone to this poison. Unfortunately, I lost my brother, Tyler, on May 10th. Like my mom had mentioned, you know, he's gone forever. because of someone that he trusted, someone that he loved, someone that loved, said, you know, that she loved him. You know, it's difficult. I grieve my brother's death every day. I also grieve, you know, the life that he should have had. Like my mom had mentioned earlier, he's never going to get to do a lot of things that he wanted to do in someone. And I really think the emphasis on trusting people is a key word too, because yes, people are ordering it off of Snapchat and websites, but a lot of these people that are dying, they're getting it from their so-called friends or so-called people, loved ones, and then they're killing them, and it's heartbreaking. You know, and the other thing is that it just, you know, people, when they hear that somebody has passed due to a overdose or fentanyl, there's just this stigma that is attached to it. Most people aren't addicts that are dying from this. It's a one-time thing, just like in my brother's case. This person robbed my family. My parents, they don't have their son. My sisters, they don't have their brother. He had a younger sister, and he had two older sisters. My two girls, they'll never have that relationship with their uncle. My youngest actually won't even get to have a relationship with her uncle because he passed 2 days before her first birthday. And that's so difficult. Just, you know, every month there's a holiday. His birthday is coming up. Mother's Day is the same week. Father's Day was after. It's just, the grief is just, it's just there every day. You know, I mentioned earlier that so many parents and people are losing their loved ones to this poison. It actually, the rate of people, it grows every 7.5 minutes. So in the time actually that we've been on air talking about this now, 5 people have died. And that's a fact. And it's a scary, scary fact. I did want to mention, I don't know who's been made aware, there's a lot of movement going on, and there is a letter that is being written out to the president, and there's actually a website, it's called facingfentanylnow.org, and people can go on there and they can sign this letter to the president to make him become aware and hopefully address it. There's a national emergency, you know, response that needs to happen. You know, this is nationwide. It's not just here in Arizona. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in more, you know, it's involved in more deaths than heroin, than meth, than cocaine, than prescription drugs, any death out there. It is the number one cause of death right now. I actually just
in COVID even.
Yeah, even in COVID, and that was, you know, a national emergency, just like they're trying to make monkeypox. I mean, come on, what's the real emergency right now? I watched a segment earlier on that someone had shared. I think it was on Fox News. I don't remember what news station. I don't care which news station, as long as people are spreading awareness. And it was about Oregon and Idaho and the epidemic that they're dealing with now. Looks like chalk and candy. Your kids could go to the park and pick up a piece of chalk and draw on the ground. And, you know, hey, kids put their hands on everything. Kids put their hands in their mouth. I know my kids, constantly telling them to keep their hands out of their mouth, go wash your hands, don't touch stuff. And they could overdose like that just from going to the playground now. It's so scary. oh yes, my family is devastated, and if we can save just one person by sharing my brother's story, then we'll continue to do that, to try to raise this awareness.
They have I read the new thing that they're doing now with it is they're calling it rainbow, where they're, instead of it just being a blue pill, they're making to entice the younger kids is that it's pink and yellow and orange and green and purple, and it looks like candy.
Yeah, and there's a lot of them look like gummies, so, or the Pez candies, or they're made just identical, yeah, like candy, just like the identical pills. I heard on the news the other day of a lady that picked up a bill, a dollar or something, from the ground, mm-hmm, and it happened to have fentanyl on it, and she ended up in the hospital, and I don't think she died, but she got really sick.
I've seen that,
thank goodness,
too.
But, I mean, yeah. It's, you know, in the 12-month period ending in January 2022, there was 107,000, almost 400 deaths in the United States. So, I mean, we're losing, you know, over 107,000 people a year to just fentanyl and drug poisoning. That's insane. And you know,
that's
the president could stop it. He could have kept the borders closed, because once those borders were open, that's when it got worse. You know, the drug cartels are bringing this stuff over, you know, and Sheriff attested to that. They're catching, you know, that he was telling us what they're catching, but they don't know what they're not catching, because we know a lot of it's obviously getting across. It's the amount of
absolutely
deaths that we're going on.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the president is part of the problem, to be honest. You know, he's allowing this stuff in our country.
Yeah.
I want to correct
a lot of
May 25th is whenever they busted in Casa Grande. Two girls, 500,000 fentanyl pills on a traffic stop. And by the way,
they
had two small babies in the car with them, two small children in the car with them. 500,000. That was May 25th. Yes. Yes, it was. There's a Tucson woman that is on March 3rd that was arrested for the death of her child, which had fentanyl in it. That was in Tucson. I believe I read whenever I went on to the medical, Pinell County Medical Examiner's report, it's up 1,700%. Is what we're up. That's the difference, is where we're at from what it used to be. It's disgusting. There is, and you know, honestly, it all starts where it came from, the pharmaceutical companies pushing medications to the doctors pushing it to people, and it just now here we are, you know, so it's just disgusting, and that's where fentanyl started. And there's a whole research thing, and the inventors, the people that made fentanyl, are also the same company that got sued. The guy is in jail. It was from Purdue. It's the same guy.
Yeah.
That same company came out with Narcan. So they're making billions of dollars.
They create the problem and they create the solution, and they make money on both ends.
It's disgusting. It just sickens me. But, you know, you pay attention. Pay attention to your family, your loved ones. See where they're, you know, like I said, if they're under 18, be in their business. Honestly, be in their business. This isn't a time to try to be their friend. If they're older than that, or they're just a friend, or even your kids, talk to them and, you know, find out what the situation is. Seriously, if there's, you know, I know COVID caused a lot of depression amongst people, and that had a lot of issues of why people were seeking whatever reason, financial reasons. Some people, these are everyday people. Some of them were just, you know, it was cheaper to get their medication buy off the street than it was from the pharmacy.
Right.
That's what they did. And this is what happened. And there was a case where there was two little boys, you know, they were teenage boys, but they bought a pill. They split it in half, and one boy died. They sat on the park bench, and they each took half of it. One little boy died, and the other one didn't. The little boy that died, it's because all the fentanyl was in the half that the little boy, the one took. And they have the strips to test it. But what they say about that, too, is it's, you know, the cookie effect, you know, the chocolate chip cookie effect. So unless you're going to check the whole thing, you don't know. You don't know where what's in there. They could test one little spot, you know, and you don't know where it's at. My son, I don't know, you know, like Kayla and I both know, the hardest part for us is, you know, what he was going through. And we had talked to him, and we're trying to resolve all of that, but he was, yes, he trusted somebody. And yes, we know he had to have loved this person. You know, he was with her for a few years, but we know that this person had problems with drugs, and fentanyl was one of them. And he believed her that she was stopping, but she was very violent towards him and abusive. And that is another topic on another time I would like to address things like
Absolutely.
That. But that's what led, that was one of the things. Yes, this is what killed my son, but what led my son to this? What leads a lot of people to think situations, you know? So it was, these are situations of where we're at and what leads other kids to do things, you know, why are they so, what is going on in their life that they feel like they need to do this? And I
know
I,
one
there's
thing.
There's so many unanswered questions.
Yeah. I know, because I've gone through it. Our childhood traumas and the things that we go through as children, you know, those things come out in us as we grow older. You know, the sexual abuse and things like that I went through as a young girl. I turned to drinking alcohol at age 13. I just graduated eighth grade. It was like the day after a party at the lake, you know, and I liked the way it made me feel because I felt different and I could say and do things that I wouldn't normally do. And I think until we can come to terms with our childhood traumas and try to make it so that these young kids don't have to deal with the things that they are going through right now, you know, they're going to get depressed and they're going to, you know, turn to alcohol and drugs to try to make themselves feel better.
And put a band-aid on
it.
That's another stigma too. Just stop that stigma. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And they need to feel like they have a safe landing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They need to feel like they can talk about it, you know. There's so much going on in the world today that we didn't have to go through as kids. But yet we still had our trials and our tribulations and our problems. And thank God we're here, you know, for some of the things that we went through. At least I know for myself, the things that I went through, it's a miracle that I'm still here. But
right.
These things that are happening in the world today are not okay. The drugs are not okay. The sexual abuse is not okay. The sex trafficking is not okay. You know, there's a lot of things that society just kind of shuts their eyes to and says, oh, well, you know, they'll get over it or they'll get through it or whatever. No, they need help. People need to talk about things. You know, you don't heal and you're not able to get over it unless you talk about it with somebody and you're able to get all those emotions and thoughts and things out, because, you know, when you go through trauma as a child, you have guilt and shame and, you know, you don't feel good enough and all kinds of stuff. It's not fun.
And I believe that a lot of that most of that has always been there. It's just the difference now is we have a drug that is a different beast. And
oh, yeah.
That's the So now we have that still needs to be dealt with, and now they've added a whole another beast to the. They're like, oh, okay, so why don't we try this out? You know, it's here's this beast of the devil come walking in, and he's just wreaking havoc. Mm-hmm. And now you have all of these other things that have always been happening all along. I mean, probably for, I don't know, for a long time that it was just you just didn't talk about. And then, but now you have this drug that is there, the out that other people use. Now their out is killing them.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, people have smoked marijuana for years, and it's helped a lot of people with illnesses and different things. But today, I would be so afraid because they're lacing that as well. So you can't just buy marijuana from anyone either. If you're going
to
use it,
you can buy
go to the dispensary. Get it the right way.
Absolutely. If you're going to get marijuana, please, please, please go to the dispensary. In Arizona, it is legal, and you can go to the dispensary and buy it. You know, it is not worth getting it because you can save a couple bucks.
Exactly.
Off of somebody because you don't want to pay the taxes. Trust me, it is not worth your life. It's not worth it. My son, he smoked marijuana up until probably, I think it was January. He quit smoking marijuana in January. But he never went, he only ever went to the dispensary, only ever went there. And, you know, and he used to lecture, you know, he'd say, Mom, you know, the dispensary, because I only go to the dispensary and blah, 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 blah. But that was just all, then he just stopped, you know, after January, he wasn't doing it. So this, what happened to him, I mean, he had nothing, it's just infuriating. It's infuriating. It really is. But yes, please. I'm not here to bash anybody. You know, I would prefer people to, if they had something, I would prefer them to go to a dispensary before they start taking opiates, you know?
Yeah. And if they have a problem,
those are,
or you know someone that has a problem with opiates, carry Narcan, and B, they need to make sure they're with someone, you know?
Oh, Narcan is so important.
That's something that are still... We need to figure out how to get Narcan and distribute it. Somebody asked me tonight, how do we get it? Everybody should have it. And I said, absolutely. But
the pharmacies,
where
you should be able to get them from the pharmacies. So you should be able to, and I need to check here, but you're supposed to be able to get Narcan for free from the pharmacies. But I don't know. I know it's in higher. We'll have to check here and see how they do it here, you know, where they have more of a problem in areas where there's a bigger drug problem is where you can go in and get that. That's my son passed.
But
I had Narcan. I have Narcan in my house.
Every family needs to have some at their house. Every family. It's like Band-Aids.
Yep, the
every
fire
family
department,
needs to have
the police department carries it, and you should be able to go in there and get it. And it's
but sometimes
I
even by the time the fire department gets there, you don't have time.
At least have two doses of it, because with at least two doses is what you'll have to give by the time they get here. But you know,
something we're gonna
have
to look into.
Yes, and there's a lot of stuff. There's a thing going on in Queen Creek. There's a thing going on in Casa Grande. There's going to be Narcan training at both of those. So we'll have to get those up on your site. Get out there. It's a walk in Casa Grande is what's going on in Casa Grande. And I don't think it's a walk out in Queen Creek, but there's like a big thing going on out there. Yeah.
There's also another.
But, is there?
Yeah.
So this
what
is all coming up. Like this month is an event going on in Tucson.
August is known as Overdose Awareness Month in general. And then there's certain days in August. So, or, you know, that like the national prevention for fentanyl, and then there's also the 31st is Overdose Awareness Day as well. So they have different days, but the whole month is to recognize it. So I the event in Tucson is for overdose awareness, and there's going to be, you know, a Japanese tree lighting, and they're going to have stuff there too, just like in Castagram. They're going to give out information, and in Queen Creek, and we have all that information.
Yeah, we do. We've gotten a lot of that information. You know, on my son passed away on May 10th. We didn't know a whole lot. I'd heard about fentanyl the way, and I did his funeral and stuff. And one of Tyler's favorite colors was purple anyway. So that was the color we did for his funeral and stuff. After it was all said and done, we found out that on May 10th was the very first across the United States, the national DEA, and they had made it the very first fentanyl awareness day for May 10th, that day that he passed away. On the day that he passed away was that day. But, and then I didn't know that, obviously, and I also didn't know that the color was purple. And his funeral was in purple there. So I feel like Tyler has really been our guide. So much. He's guided us. I don't know about you, Kayla, but I feel like he has guided us in every direction that we need to go. It just feels that way for us. For me, it does, at least. It just really shows he knows where. And it just feels like he's telling us in the directions, and he's leading us where we need to go. And so we're doing it. And, you know, he would want us to do this. You know, the one part, like when we talk about the person that supposedly loved him, that did this to him, that was all he wanted for her, was to get off of that. That was, he tried so hard. He, everything, and that was the one thing. And he, and that's what she did to him. So that's the saddest, that's what's so infuriating about it, because he really, really tried. And every time I talked to him, or I'd look in on, he was trying to find a rehab for her, and he was talking to her the night before. He was telling her how proud he was of her, because she lied to him and told him she was detoxing. And he said, I don't know, you know, per se, what it's like to be on this, but I know it can't be easy. You know, I have him on video outside on my camera talking, and he's just, and then the very next night, he found it on her. So it's just, it's frustrating. And I know he would want us to do this, and he wasn't okay with this drug at all. He talked about it a lot. I wasn't aware of the seriousness of it, and most people aren't, and you just don't until it's at your door.
Well, we hear about it, but we like most think things. It's going to come to our house.
Nope. Well, you hear about it. Yes, exactly. You hear about it, and, you know, you just, oh, that's terrible. Oh, this, that, you know, and you click the channel, whatever. You know, you don't think anything of it. And then when you start, every time I open one of those groups that we're in with all of these people, and just seeing the mass, the billboards. My son is on billboards. He's on the DEA in Washington, D.C.'s wall. Just seeing the mass amount of these kids that are on there. And they're not just kids. There's people that are any young kids there. I seen one that she looked like she was probably 6 months old, all the way up into, I don't know, elderly. I mean, it's
heartbreaking, because none of you just, people wanted to die.
None of them. I mean, very few people. It's one thing if you are seeking out fentanyl, purposely seeking out fentanyl. If you are looking to buy fentanyl and you know what you're buying, you are buying fake fentanyl, you know that
that's
you take that fentanyl, you are rolling that dice. That is an overdose. This is drug-induced homicide if you did not know what was given to you.
No.
That's what this is.
You know, and the kids, you know, a lot of the young teenagers, they just want to get a little high. So they'll get the oxycodone, the Vicodins, or Adderall, or Xanax, you know, so easily accessible.
My goodness, and there's so many choices out there, yes. And you have to be on your game, moms and dads. You got to be on your game because they are changing things up, like, left and right. I do not envy my daughter for my grandbabies. I don't envy her because I'm telling you, every time you turn around, it's something different, and the lingo is changing, and the social medias are changing, and it's crazy. It's crazy. I was like, don't ever give them and all kids are walking around with a smartphone. They've access in their hand.
Yeah.
So you know, anybody that wants information, just, it's there. You just have to look. You have to look. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Come and see family members. Come and talk to us in person and see us. You know, it's one thing to hear a voice. It's another to see us in person and look into our face and feel it, because it's pain.
Yeah.
So, you know, my granddaughter, she's 5, and she struggles, you know. She doesn't understand. It's, all she knows is she misses her uncle, and it's heartbreaking. Because how do you tell a 5-year-old, you know? It's hard, you know. My 1-year-old granddaughter, she's never going to know him. In 2 years, on Mother's Day, it will fall on May 10th. You know, my grandbaby's birthday will always be around that time. These are things Tyler would never have done, ever, 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 ever. My youngest daughter, Tristan, like Kayla said, Tyler lived here with, they're really, you know, they've always been real close, you know. I mean, we're doing the funeral and the arrangements and stuff, you know, and I was thinking about doing a little memorial wall at the cemetery. She's like, oh, no, Mom, you got to get, he ain't getting out of living with me forever, because she's telling me she was going to live with him forever and ever, you know, because he's like, no, you're not living with me. But they were always, you know, with the 4 kids, and they were the closest in age, and she's here, and we have to look at that room, and we have to look at everything around us all the time. So, you know, and Kayla, she's always been the sister that looks out for the rest of the kids, always. So that phone call that she had to get.
Yeah.
And it was the youngest one. It was the youngest that called her. And all she could hear was me, blood curdling, screaming.
Never get that out of my head. It'll always be there.
I couldn't call. I was on the floor, blood curdling, screaming for my son. So, and Tristan trying to tell her he was gone, and
it's hard for people to get it out, you know. So
I can watch TV, I'll try to play a game, and that thing happens. Everything, literally. It's just the same. It's that movie. That's what I get. It starts from the bedroom, from me going up, going in his room, and then it goes to the cemetery, or it goes to his funeral.
and I'm in the casket, and I can't see his face. And I did a viewing because I wanted to get that out of my, I wanted to get that picture out of my head of the last thing I remember. But all I can think about is his hands, and they didn't look like my son's hands. And that's what I think about now. That's what I see. So I just, all I see is me walking in that room, seeing my son, me all on top of him, screaming for him to breathe. Me singing to him, then taking him and his hands. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I could be doing nothing, and that vision pops in my head. It pops in my head. I went through a period of time where I was having, my reality was, I was in and out of reality. My kids were my husband trying to keep me sane. I was just like, no, I don't know what you guys are talking about. He's not gone. You guys are crazy. You know, he's going to be really pissed off when he gets home and hears what you guys are saying. And it's like now my brain doesn't want to believe he's gone, but my heart knows he is, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he was my only son. He was my only boy. I've always had a really strong connection with him. I have a strong connection with all of my kids. But he was, you know, the one I always was worried about, I guess, because he was the only boy. So I babied him extra more than I did the rest of them. Just because he had three sisters. So he was always, the mama's boy. I babied him. And, you know, so I look around my house and I just look for him and I don't get him. And I beg anybody that hears this, please, if you want to have your kids in your life forever, please. And I'll never get that. It's not benefiting me any. I could have easily just stayed quiet and went along about my business and curled up in a ball and stayed that way, did whatever I needed to do. But I choose to try to save one life, two lives, 100 lives, 1,000 lives. As many as I can, because this is terrible. It's awful. My heart is paralyzed.
To anyone listening to this show, talk to your family members, talk to your children, talk to your parents, talk to your aunties and uncles and cousins. Just talk to whoever you can about this poisoning that's taken over our country. You know, it's the nation's deadliest threat right now, and we have to get this education out to let people know that it only takes one pill, it only takes a half a pill. I mean, it's just a few grains of salt that can kill you. So we need to just make an awareness to, you know, not to use drugs from online, not to use, you know, marijuana, cocaine, anything off the street. I mean, try your best to get it from your doctor and a pharmacy and, you know, get it the right way. But don't get hooked on all this fake stuff, because this fake stuff's going to kill you.
I mean, if you are using or make sure you're with somebody. That's number one important. Please do not be alone.
And have Narcan.
We're not condoning using at all. I absolutely am not. But I'm just saying, if you absolutely have to, please don't go in a room and be alone and do something, unless you want somebody, your loved ones that love you very much, to find you, and it will destroy them.
Yeah. Destroying our families and our country. We're going to go ahead and close here in a few minutes, and we're going to have some future episodes to talk about various things. So we'll let you know when our next one will be. Any last words, Kayla?
Just to
like you guys are saying, just continue to talk to your friends, your kids, your loved ones. There's every day, you know, we're losing people, like I said, every 7.5 minutes. So just keep doing your research and keep telling people about it.
Absolutely.
Tyler,
Lisa, you have...
we're doing all of this for you, baby. We love you and we miss you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa and Kayla,
and thank
for
you,
coming
Lucinda,
on.
And we appreciate you also. Thank you for allowing us.
You're welcome. I'm just
have a
grateful
voice
I have a platform
and
to help you.
Voice.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you.
So tonight, we're going to go out tonight with a song. This song is from a new upcoming Christian artist, Ruben Fierros, who happens to be my son. And Ruben overcame a battle of drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicide attempt after some things happened in his life. And this is a song that came about after that, after he allowed Jesus back into his life. So please enjoy this song by Ruben Fierros, I Am He. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
I'm depressed, I'm a mess, like I'm lost in this valley. And I can't seem to rest, cause my past mistakes are always taught me. Looking for light in the night, in all of the darkest of places. Looking for love from above, am I worthy enough for heaven's graces? Whispering like thunder, in the dark, is your pathway lonely, is your heart growing cold like you're walking dead in the land of the living, whispering like thunder. Conquer the grave forevermore.